No, I'm controlling it.
It's getting hot in here. Ugh, take my clothes off.
You just wasted 6 seconds.
Seven.
Don't eat near, 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 near.
Input, output.
Input, output.
Input, output.
Dork humor. So we'd like to say thanks again to Kevin Killen for his fantastic interview. It was really, really enjoyable.
What a nice guy. You know, it's amazing somebody who's been doing it for that long still has good humor about it. And
well, I think that's why he's able to do it for so long.
Maybe so. Maybe so. And also, it was fun to talk to about mixing in the box. You know, I'm definitely not an in the box person.
But well,
we didn't come to blows.
You're not. You're kind of an in the box person. You're just.
Well, you can't be. You can never really escape. I mean, people don't send me 16 track recordings. You know, they're just not.
Right. UPS not doesn't deliver. Many.
Although 24 a couple of jazz
2-inch reels.
Speaking of which,
hey, what are you? What's that thing over there
on my iPad?
Yeah.
Why? This is the Nyrink V Control Pro, which you know.
Wait. So you're. What are you doing with it? Well, I don't know what that is.
This is basically a remote control, Huey protocol remote control. I mean, I'm using Huey protocol in Pro Tools, but...
Wait, rewind. So you've got a controller on your iPad that's actually running the Pro Tools right now.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So, like, you can mute me? I'm not suggesting that you would want to mute me, but I'm just saying...
No, why would I do that?
You can do a remote mute.
Right. I can do, yeah. So this is a really cool piece of software that basically runs on your iPad and gives you, you know, touch control over faders, mutes, sends. You can assign stuff, turn automation on and off. And then there's a whole nother window called the V window where you can actually look at anything that's available on your computer. Now I'm looking. Look, you can even look and touch the edit
You can
window.
Actually see the edit window. But so
if you want to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah.
If you want to see it on a smaller window.
Assuming you're not already crazy.
You know, anywhere there's Wi-Fi in your studio, it'll work.
Can you, I don't know, put a plug-in on and...
Sure. Let's see. How do I do that?
I guess you probably can't do it while we're recording.
No, that is the problem. You can't do it while you're recording.
That is Pro Tools in a nutshell. No, this is me in a nutshell.
Hey.
Sorry, hey.
God,
Austin Powers.
What's going on?
Coffee just worked, kicking in.
Anyway, the reason why I'm using that instead of my actual Mackie control...
is because it's small.
It's very small, and I can drop it in my backpack and bring it to any session, whereas the Mackie is kind of more... bigger, bulkier, takes up more space, although you do have the tactile. But, yeah. You know, what I found is that even when I'm working on a real board, I always look down to see where the fader is before I start moving it. That may just be me, but I'm almost always keeping track, whether it's with a little piece of tape and pencil marks. I have to look at it anyway. So looking down at my iPad to put my finger on the fader isn't that weird. And then once it's on that fader, you can actually move it anywhere on the screen. Does it feel like it tracks
in a natural way when you are using it?
Yeah, it feels that way, but you know, I'm probably not as picky just because I know it's not a real fader.
Right.
So I'm going to give it some leeway anyway, and it's running over
Wi-Fi. I'm just saying, like, if you're mixing on that thing or doing, like, say, vocal rides, and I don't know how sensitive you get, if you know what I'm saying. And I know you get very sensitive. But I mean,
I'm a sensitive guy,
Hey, you know, I don't know how particular you get when you're doing those things. But, like, say you're trying to drop something down, like, on a syllable or something like that. Does it feel like you can do what you need to do and it feels natural?
I mean, the thing is, I set it to touch. So when you touch the fader, it starts recording. When you let it go, it stops. So you can quickly just, jam on it. But, you know, honestly, like, if it's something like that where there's a pop or something I want to get rid of, I'm just going to draw it in anyway because I'm just faster.
So a better example would be, like, say you're writing the guitars in a chorus and you want them to come up.
Yeah.
It allows you to do that and you feel like it's...
Totally. And that's the thing is once you get your fingers on those faders, then you can just close your eyes or look up or whatever and just listen.
And just listen.
You know, which is the whole point, really. It's $50, which is a lot for an app. But actually, for a controller for Pro Tools,
that's pretty darn cheap. But how much does Microsoft Word cost?
Yeah, exactly. this is an active development. They are constantly
working
on it. In
other words, it's not one of those things that you buy that's really cool, and then 6 months later when they update iOS, you're like, oh, that was cool, and it doesn't work.
No. They're actively working on it. And in fact, we'd had a little interview with Paul on the AES floor last fall. That. So maybe we'll throw that on here. Speaking of crazy apps, come on. What was it? Aria?
The Aria app.
Okay. This is an iPad app.
Recording and mixing software.
It says it'll do 48 tracks.
Okay. So here are my big two questions. One, the hard drive space required for a large 48-track session that's not like drum loops is not insignificant.
I don't know. I mean, if you had a 64 gig iPad. I'm just saying it's cool that they actually made it.
It's cool, and I'm sure that's where things are going. I wonder what the actual, speaking of tactile, I wonder what the experience of working, because those knobs are not big.
No, but you can mix and send it to Dropbox. I haven't tried it yet. I got to download it, but you have to use a little camera connector, and then you'd have a USB, so it has to be a USB interface. So
just thinking about the mechanics of how this does work versus how they say it's going to work, what interface do you know that you can actually control from an iPad?
So we'll see. But I mean, it comes with a slew of plugins from PSP AudioWare, which is a Polish company, makes great stuff. The Vintage Warmer, I think, is probably their most popular.
So I heard a rumor that Apple was moving people, significantly rerouting their workforce away from working on Logic to working on a music app for the iPad. And
you mean other than GarageBand? Because they have
I think that they're actually putting resources into building up GarageBand.
Yeah, and more like this.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just like this because they kind of are approaching it like from a Pro Tools kind of standpoint. How can we make an iPad turn into a multi-channel recorder mixer thingy?
Yep.
So we'll see. But I mean, of course, getting quality audio in and out is an issue.
So Eli and I, about 3 weeks ago, went to go see the Studio One demonstration for
the PreSonus.
PreSonus's DAW program. And it was cool. And I think, to me, one of the most interesting things about watching them and talking to them about how they've designed it is the way to which they're trying to take the workflow away from the typical studio workflow and make it a little bit more, you know, just advance it. Because like Pro Tools and even this Aria?
Right, the Aria app.
Yeah.
Wave Machine Labs.
Okay, so
makes it.
They are all about reproducing the paradigm of studio recording.
Right.
So all the visual interfaces, it looks like a mixing board. And Studio One is doing that as well, but they are sort of trying to go in a different direction where they're
why does it have to look like that? And it is kind of funny because you've got Universal Audio on one side who are trying to just make it look more vintage, and there is a whole movement where everything's got to have color and be vintagey and, you know, harmonics.
It's fantastic,
And on the other hand, you've got Ableton Live and now the PreSonus Studio One, where they're just like, what if we not do that?
Well, what if we exist in the 21st century, not the 20th century, and how would we make...
Yeah.
And guess which one sounds better? I don't know, but I think you know.
You know, an old school man like myself, I'm going to just always tend towards the vintage
ones. Familiar.
Like, yeah.
The familiar.
Man's got the cool sound.
But you use Ableton a lot, and so you actually are well aware of what's cool about it and things that...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their approach, which is now been aped by a lot, including PreSonus, where you're just working with loops and you can just turn stuff in and off and you can play stuff on the fly and it's all very elastic, you know, pitch-wise and time-wise. That was a really cool way of approaching it.
Do you know what I'm waiting for?
A lady?
I'm just waiting on a friend, actually. It's so okay. Weird. Do you know where I can find one? Is the Akai S900 plugin, because
I haven't seen that. That sounds awesome.
Someone's going to make it
12-bit.
I mean, one can only hope. Well, no, because you know, you remember with those old samplers, they didn't have waveforms. It was like you would scroll through the numbers, and it was sample bit.
I had a DSS-1, man. That thing was cool.
But what was cool about it, and what's kind of cool about the Nyrink Audio thing, is the degree to which it forces you to listen.
Right.
Remember with our interview with Chris Shaw, where he was talking about back in the old days of working on hip-hop records, where sometimes they would make him cut the beats and just be so methodical about making everything super precise and nothing flammed. And then other times they would just be like, yeah, man, whatever works. And
depends on who he was working with. Yeah. Some of those producers were just like, no, man, it's got to, because they wanted it to be a little more swingy.
But with all the new technology allowing people to just not even have to think about these things, because you can just throw in a beat, it automatically detects the tempo,
yeah,
and then finds all the transients and then puts it on a grid. That's true. Gets rid of some of that swingy feel, which is kind of what makes that
stuff
really
cool. Well, we were talking
about
that with Kevin, where there's a lot less happy accidents because everything is so controlled and so kept online by the computer, you know.
That's kind of why I like my faders. Because
You can accidentally turn something up or down.
Yep. Exactly.
Get your cat up there.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we're recording through Universal Audio Apollo, which hopefully we'll get to do some serious, you know, shootouts from. So that's a cool piece of kit. We're going to hopefully get that up and running very soon. What else do we have coming up?
Oh, well, so there's this company called Rogue Amoeba, and they make these fairly inexpensive programs that are kind of designed for just people that want to do stuff with music
at home,
in a consumer. Yeah. So one of the products that they make is called Airfoil, and it's designed so you can get music streaming or, you know, talk radio, whatever. Although God help you, stream throughout. That's what they have the AM radio for.
Hey, hold on a second. Okay. We are talk radio.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, you can stream Eli and Jeff all over your house. Hey, you're in the bathroom listening to us talk about stuff.
Okay, so I use Hot Audio Hijack Pro for completely legitimate purposes only. But this basically, anything that's going through your computer, you can record,
yes,
which is super cool.
Which is cool for a Skype recording Skype conversation.
But sometimes actually, Skype conversations, exactly. That's how we interviewed Tony Caridi. But also sometimes it's easier just to turn that on. And you can do a mix down, you know, in the background. I've done that with Ableton Live they're just like, hey, let's just jam. And you just have that thing recording in the background.
Ah. You know what I'm right. It's like, it's like instant. So the Airfoil is a product that's designed to get your, you know, you're playing something on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, and it just allows you to send it to remote receivers. This is what's interesting is you can send it to your phone or to your laptop.
Right.
Now you ask.
Or your iPad.
Why would you want to listen to music through the speaker, especially when you're connected to your computer?
Tell him, Jeff.
If you're mixing for television, as I was last week, I discovered an incredibly useful application for the Airfoil is to send the mixes that I'm working on to my iPhone.
Right.
And there is a delay. So if you're doing it in real time, you know, you're getting about a 15-second delay. So it is a little bit like, ah.
Right.
But, I mean, I was working on these 2-minute TV spots and getting the voiceover to sit above the music and above the sound effects, especially the low end sound effects, they always disappear on small speakers. So it was a really good way to not only get levels, but even to do a little EQing. I mean, you always kind of refer back to good speakers as well, but it was so useful.
Yeah,
it saved me so much time because you don't have to go through and print the entire thing. And then, oh, wait, somebody has a question in the back row. Eli, can I...
Yes, I was actually working on a web video. And, you know, the thing is, the web video, it's going to be... The only place it's going to be heard is on laptop speakers or an iPad, maybe on a phone. But so you have to listen to that. And it's actually way more accurate than using Auratones, which we had in the room. But I found it was better to use the iPad because the speaker is just so terrible on there that you can really tell, oh, this is what people are going to hear.
And it's like literally, oh.
And the other one from Rogue Amoeba, this is like an ad for Rogue
Amoeba. I know. And they haven't given us anything, but this is how you know we just like talking about stuff that we use because
we're nerds.
Nerds. So the Nicecast is a program that's designed for anybody to be a home blogger.
Well, you can broadcast any audio.
Yeah, you can broadcast your audio and blah, blah, blah. You can make your own playlists and play music for your friends on the internet, bro. It's awesome.
Yeah, but have you actually used this to...
Yes.
Because the idea in my head, I'm thinking, oh, well, I could use this to have a remote mixing. So I'm working with this band in France. I'm mixing the song. They can be listening to it in real time.
I literally...
Like, no, no, no.
That is literally what I did with both our bandmates, Scott McLeod of Girls Against Boys and Paramount Styles. I was mixing the last Paramount Styles record when Scott was in Vienna, and I was playing him mixes in real time. We were on Skype and I was playing him the music, and it was like, you know, weird because there's a 30-second, again, there's a bit of a lag between when he hears it and when I hear it, but he's giving me real-time feedback. Oh, I think the vocal level is too loud, or turn it up, or put more effects on it, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's on the other side of the world. And I same with working on commercials in Los Angeles, where I'm in New York doing mixes, and my buddy Martin's at home, and I'm just playing it. Hey, does this sound good on your system there? Are you hearing all the words? Is this the right take for this particular voiceover? And it's like, totally works. Now, what's ironic, and maybe says something about the internet, is that doing this with James in Brooklyn...
Uh-huh.
Not that easy. It kept dropping out. So going 2 miles with Nicecast is a little unreliable. Thank you, Time Warner Cable. This is not a plug for Time Warner. But going to Europe, it works great. And the West Coast apparently works well, too.
That's funny.
It's like everything else. It's not foolproof, and it's definitely dependent on...
Well, you know, I was talking to Vance Powell, and he was telling me he uses something like that's a subscription service.
Yeah, and it's $500. And this is 40. So it's kind of like you can probably deal with a lot of dropouts before you get to close to $500.
I think it's 60. It's 60.
Oh, it went up. Nice guys. All right. So it's still a good deal. And I think that if the pro audio or semi-pro audio community kind of rallied around this, because they're an active company too, they might actually realize that this is a really good application.
Yeah, those guys are very cool. I've sent them lots of questions about Audio Hijack, and they always
respond. Yeah, so it does take a little bit of trickery to get it out of Pro Tools, because it doesn't, the Audio Hijack app part of that doesn't work with Pro Tools.
Same thing with Airfoil.
Yeah.
I had the same issue at the studio where it's, because the problem with, if you're using HD system especially, there's actually no sound going through your computer.
Yeah.
It's going out into the interface. Says. So what we did was we took a SPDIF out and ran it back into the computer and then took that input and then broadcast that to the iPad. So it got even more delayed, but it didn't really matter. You know,
no,
if you're talking about little short pieces.
It certainly saves you from having to do bounces and, you know, upload MP3s and blah, blah, blah. And also, when you're working on mixing, I think one of the most time-consuming parts is the last 10%, where you're just trying to kind of dial in very small changes, and it's so much easier to have people give you real-time feedback than it is to have them give you, you know, you do a mix, you send it to them, okay, turn it up, is that right? And at a certain point, you know, they get worn out, because they don't want to just keep telling you to change something just because they want to hear whether it's better or not. But if they're saying, hey, can you do it right now, and you do it, and it takes 30 seconds to say whether or not that's right. It's so much better.
Yeah. But then you have to interact with people, you know. All right. Thanks. That's all for now. We're going to be hitting you more with an interview with Ian MacKay of Fugazi and Minor Threat Fame. And
Teen Idols.
And Teen Idols.
And the Evens.
And he runs Discord Records. And he has recorded many, 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 many records. And that'll be coming up in our next long form. So thank you. I'm Eli Janney.
And I'm Jeff Sanoff.
And thanks to Justin Kledy and Sonic Scoop. We'll talk to you soon.
Input. Output. Output. Wah wee wah 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 wah.